This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN, the sports betting network, as we welcome you in on Sharp Money Thursday, August 29th. And I say it's literally a first kind of full day of college football. I am obsessed with this North Dakota State-Colorado matchup because we sat here yesterday and it was 9.5. But as the money starts to come in closer to game time, we're up to 10.5, and I just don't see it. So we're going to talk about that. In doing so, let's go ahead and show what's on tap for Sharp Money today. We're going to be joined by Brian Howell. So he's on the inside. I feel like back to the Big 12 for Colorado, Deion is very sensitive. There was a different vibe around the program heading into year one than there is going into year two. I sense fear, and I think that we need to use that in our handicapping going into this game against, which is not a normal FCS team. That's just factual. And these are kids, and Nebraska's coming up next week for Colorado with a tough schedule. So we'll talk to Brian Howell. Also, we're going to talk to Bill Bender about college football, and Bender's going to be very good because he recently had a sit-down with Deion Sanders. So we can go straight to the source. How did that conversation go? Aaron Halterman, part of the family here on Sharp Money, is going to join us as well. RacingDudes.com. He's got plays for you tonight. We say hi. Dustin Sweetelson live at the D in downtown Las Vegas. I'm Patrick Maher. Hope you're having a nice week. Another thing that's quite fascinating. So let's think about this pragmatically. We have John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan for you coming up. Remember, San Francisco, and again, I'm down on the 49ers this year. San Francisco opens on Monday night, the 9th. Hosting the Jets. Now, if you think about the Jets, the only thing that's a question mark right now is Hassan Reddick. And then on the other side, you're going to hear from the general manager of the 49ers, and you're going to hear from the head coach of the 49ers, and maybe we can derive something that makes you want to attack this game now. Why? Key number in sports betting is 3. We know that. Everybody's showing 3.5. And right now I'm looking at one book that's got a little juice on the 3.5. I don't think we're going to get the 4. This might be an opportunity to get in on the Jets. And here's why. Big guy, let's go ahead and set this up. First off, hi, how are you? We do have live bullets on the program with baseball coming up, a full slate of Thursday college football. So thrilled to be here today. And we're going to hear from John Lynch, I believe, to start.
Yeah, and just to note, about an hour ago, I saw Nick Wagner reported, who covers the 49ers. Brandon Ayuk still not spotted at 49ers practice today. And yesterday, John Lynch met with the media and had a bit of a message for his wide receiver, who is not available right now.
Was it communicated to Brandon's camp at any point, say, in the last few weeks, that he would be expected to practice starting?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but, you know, there's at some point you got to play.
Okay, so a stern message to not necessarily Ayuk, but Ayuk's representation. Now let's hear, this is what matters as far as Monday night, from the head coach of the 49ers, because that's what we're going to use to debate that 3.5. You got Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan also meeting with the media yesterday, his weekly press conference, had to get into not just Ayuk, but also Trent Williams holding out. Here's what he had to say about the status of both of those situations.
I'm optimistic that things will work out with Trent. I'm not sitting here knowing what day it'll be. I mean, we're getting close to playing a game, so my mind is completely on preparing for a game without those guys. I feel when two sides want to get a deal done, usually it happens.
Okay, so now here's what you have to do with this information as a bettor. And again, you're always constantly thinking, which way is this number going to close? Which way is this number going to move? So if I told you San Francisco had the best left tackle in football and had one of the better wide receiver twos in football, I don't think Ayuk is a wide receiver one, but a compliment to Debo and Kittle, if I said that Ayuk was ready to go, you'd say the number should be what? You probably would say 3.5. If I told you that Purdy isn't blocked on the blind side by Trent Williams, who's an all-timer, and then Ayuk isn't playing, you'd say the number should be what? This is what you should be going through as far as the machinations and thinking about the number. My assumption, it should be closer to 3. So that means I jump into the market right now. I take the 3.5 on the Jets, and we shall see. Now, will a deal get done with the wide receiver Ayuk and the left tackle Williams? Maybe. Zach Taylor just reversed course on Jamar Chase. and said, I spoke too soon, assuming that he's going to be there for week one. This Ayuk situation is starting to get messy. Trent Williams, who's a big boy and an older guy, is a left tackle, and he hasn't been doing anything. So I'll take the 3.5. The hook, obviously the key number when you're talking about NFL is frankly college is 3. You go to 6, you go to 7, you go to 6, obviously, and you keep going. But 3 is the key number. So Dustin, with the information I have right now coming up on Monday night with the San Francisco opener hosting the Jets, I like the Jets catching the 3.5.
Well, and there is a little bit more money coming that way on the Jets catching the points. 63% of the handle over at the DraftKings betting splits at VSiN.com on just 54% of the bets. So it's not a huge discrepancy, but it does show more money than bets being placed on New York. A couple points to back you up here. How about that San Francisco offensive line outside of Trent Williams? Most of those guys are not very good. They're definitely not elite. He is kind of the piece that holds it all together for that front for San Francisco. And if Brandon Ayuk is not available, while both of us would agree, Brandon Ayuk is not CeeDee Lamb. He's a very good, very nice receiver.
Correct.
However, you pull Brandon Ayuk out of this receiving core. Remember, Ricky Pearsall, who they picked in the first round, injured late in camp. Probably not going to be available for week one. That means Debo's your number one. A lot of Juwan Jennings, who's okay, big body receiver, but like kind of limited. Then Ronnie Bell and Chris Conley. You're going to have to throw the ball more with Brock Purdy. No left tackle. That's your receiving group. And oh, by the way, Christian McCaffrey, per usual, heading into the season a little bit banged up himself.
Middle of July, this number was San Francisco 5.5. It started to dip and go towards the Jets' way. On Tuesday, it was 4. It's dropped down to 3.5. I'm just trying to read the market here. I think we may see a 3, so that's why I'm betting it now at 3.5. And again, I'll be straight up with you. With no practice on the left tackle and no practice with Ayuk, they're both going to be on a pitch. Well, Ayuk in particular is going to be on a pitch count anyway if he plays on Monday. I'll still take the 3.5.
Yeah, Robert Saleh also was quoted late yesterday saying that he's prepping to see both of them. Now, that could be just him saying we have to prepare to see San Francisco at their best. But his exact quote was fully expect those two to play, fully expect Williams to walk on the field, still be an all-pro with a newly minted contract. And I'm sure Ayuk, I'm sure he'll be there. So they think the Jets, they're going to see the full complement of pieces for San Francisco. I don't know if Brandon Ayuk's going to call the bluff here. It feels like he is pretty sure that he's willing to sit out games and lose money that way to make more money on the back end.
He's pretty dug in.
Yeah, that's the word.
Yeah. Yeah. No. You said it perfectly. I totally agree. But again, all we're trying to do is forecast a number here. So 3.5 right now in the Jets. I think it's tasty. Again, you're not getting the best of it. The best of it would have been taking 5.5. Go ahead, big guy.
Yeah, but if you want to back the Jets, this is like last chance. This is like you go up to pay for all of your stuff at the end of shopping, and it's like last chance sale. Here's the rack with everything. There's no return policy because we could be getting to a point where you're not going to see 3.5 again.
Okay, so just wanted to start there because I think it's important. And I'm just curious to see, we're probably not going to see movement over the next 3 hours of sharp money, but that's a game that I'm fascinated by. Because as an intermediate bettor, a beginner, or an advanced bettor, you should be focused on that number because it tells you what the market thinks of these two teams regardless. Again, San Francisco is sitting 11.5 in the market in a tough division. That's not a number I want to trifle with. We know the ATS numbers for the loser of the Super Bowl opening up a new year. We've seen those widely reported. We know there's a lot of pressure on Shanahan. The Brock Purdy conversation continues to be fascinating because you can argue he's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. And then there are those advanced analytics peeps that would argue Purdy might be a tad overrated and add to the overrated nature without the best left tackle in football. So just wanted to start there. We've got a ton to do, including Gerard Mayo and the Patriots have named a starter. You may have heard, we'll get to that coming up in just a bit. I want to go through a rookie quarterback roundup. Also, baseball. We do have a game, Dustin. We can get to it quickly. It's not necessarily a marquee matchup. It starts in about 2 minutes, Miami and Colorado. I'll hold on to that for a second because another fascinating conversation is happening in baseball, and that is Jackson Merrill and Paul Skeens. We'll have that conversation as we continue. And I've got some news on Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss football. So we're stacked today. Should we get a family bet going with Miami and Colorado? It's disgusting.
It is.
Shall we?
You know what? Let's live in the mud together. Let's
live in the moment,
because yeah.
That's all we have, I assure you.
Get our hands dirty with a gross game. Look, Valente Beazo in his seventh start, taking on Bradley Blaylock in his third start. Try and guess which team either of them plays for. Had not heard of them until I started handicapping this game. So for Beazo's pitching for Miami, seventh start, he's allowing a lot of contact. That's the one thing I noticed on him. Bradley Blaylock, second start at Coors out of three possible starts, fourth overall appearance. They've both been fine. If I was going to bet this, I would look at that Colorado team total over 5.5 or Beazo, the Miami pitcher, to allow 7-plus hits because he pitches to a lot of contact.
Again, that's a couple of unknowns, but we do have knowns coming up in just about 30 minutes with the Mets and D-backs and a great pitching matchup, which we're going to discuss. Also, live bullets on the program, the A's and the Reds. Okay, so we shall discuss. We've got football to talk about, peeps. And football's a dirty game. Not as dirty as business, I assure you. Am I right? But football's certainly a dirty game, big guy. Southern Utah and Utah, Murray State, Missouri, Coastal Carolina, and Jacksonville State all on the docket today here on Sharp Money as we get started. So plenty to do. Let's kind of just settle in for the next 3 hours, have some fun with some family plays, including we do have family plays from our roster of friends. And our buddy Chance Copperpot has been bounced out of Sharp Money Survivor.
Pour it out.
So he has a message to bid us adieu. Pour one out for Chance Copperpot. All right. We continue with some baseball in North Dakota State, Colorado next. Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, got a lot to do over the next hour and 15, including Bill Bender, the sporting news, talking week one in college football. Week one, fascinating because you have so many matchups between FBS and FCS schools, just like we were just discussing with North Dakota State and Colorado previously. Also, Aaron Halterman's going to stop by, racingdudes.com. We got a bunch of family plays. That's what we do, our objective every day here on Sharp Money. If we got plays, live bullets, we're going to bet them. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. And speaking of which, I was dubious on your team total over 5.5 with the Rockies. I'm no longer dubious because we've cleared that. It's top of five, and the Fish lead the Rockies 8-6. That's a tremendous job by you. We are on the Diamondbacks, and I am also on the under 8.5. We just went middle five in Arizona. The Diamondbacks do lead the Mets 2-1, so we're looking good there, big guy. Let's move on to a game that's coming up in just about 20 minutes, and that is Oakland in Cincinnati. So the Reds hosting the A's. Ginn's going to make his first major league start as a 25-year-old for Oakland. You got Aguiar for Cincinnati. Right now, Aguiar laying $1.35, Dustin, and 10.5 on the total. Two teams full of power.
Yeah, one thing I like is that it's JT Ginn's first start for Oakland, but it's his third appearance. They brought him in a couple times as a reliever, get him acclimated, get him used to things. So I think that helps with the nerves a bit. He was the 52nd overall pick in 2020 out of Mississippi State. Mets prospect, so I'm familiar with him. Traded in the Chris Bassett deal out to Oakland. I thought he would have made his debut by now. Surprised he spent so long in the minor league system, but he was pretty hyped when he first was drafted. Minor league numbers a little inflated, but also, you know, playing out here in Vegas, the ball does fly out here a lot. I do have a play when it comes to his prop. I'm going to look at his under 2.5 earned runs allowed, Patrick, simply because, one, he doesn't allow a lot of deep fly balls, it looks like, despite having a higher ERA down in the minors. But I also don't know how deep he's going to go into this game. I don't think he's going to be quite an opener, but if he goes 3-4 innings, I don't know if he gets to the fifth. And I think there's a chance they just want to get him some stretched out here today against Cincinnati. So average 4.8 innings per appearance in AAA, has thrown 3 2/3 innings at the major league level. Think he probably gets taken out somewhere around the fourth. First time seeing Cincinnati, obviously, because it's his debut as a starter. That is usually an advantage when it comes to the starting pitcher. So under 2.5 earned runs allowed.
All right, that game coming up in just about 20 minutes. I do just want an update because I know there's a ton I hear from you all the time, soccer bettors. So La Liga right now, Real Madrid and Mbappe, they are trailing Las Palmas 1-0 in the 57th minute. For those that pay attention to global soccer, this would be maybe the upset of the year. So I'm following along there. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, just massive, beyond. It's impossible to explain. I mean, I believe Real Madrid was laying $4.50, so -450 in that matchup today just to win. So, yeah, pretty big. Week one, college football. There are 59 games, Dustin, between FBS and FCS schools. One of those isn't number one Georgia versus number 14 Clemson. Okay, so this is a big-time headliner. Remember, this game's going to be played in Atlanta. Now, maybe you remember, maybe you don't, but 3 years ago, the Bulldogs and the Tigers also kicked off the season, big guy. Obviously, things have changed, and Georgia and Clemson have traded places. So they kicked off the year in 2021, where number five, Georgia at the time, pulled out a 10-3 win over number three, Clemson at the time. And of course, Georgia then en route to back-to-back national titles. In that game, I believe Clemson, if memory serves me correctly, was laying 3. So Georgia was a 3-point dog, won outright 10-3. Things have changed. Think about this. From 2021, as we kick off the 2024 season, think about what we're talking about now. Kirby has essentially built a powerhouse, which is conversely what Dabo, and Dabo's still 54 years old, somewhere in there, and Kirby's just 49, so we're going to see these guys for years to come. Obviously, a lot of consternation around Clemson and Clemson football because the conversation about the transfer portal. You pointed it out perfectly yesterday. It's not like he's not using Dabo NIL money. He's just using it to pay the guys in-house. Georgia and Kirby a little bit differently. He's paying people NIL money, but he's also going out and getting transfers. So I told you to start the 2021 season, you had Georgia catching 3, an outright winner over Clemson. And this year it's a little different as Georgia is laying 13.5 in Atlanta coming up on Saturday and 48.5 on the total. 48.5 on the total is very important because what did I just tell you? 3 years ago, 13 total points combined. And so we should start there as far as Georgia's defense is going to be ridiculous. Clemson has uber talent on defense as well. Now, they're not as deep as Georgia. And certainly there are questions at quarterback with Klubnik. You know, there are two teams that stand out when I just think of who the hell knows what you're getting at the quarterback position. That is Drew Aller at Penn State and Klubnik at Clemson. Now, we do have Kirby Smart talking about this matchup.
Yeah, here's Kirby Smart meeting with the media a few days ago and had this to say about facing Cade Klubnik at quarterback.
Yeah, it seems like he's been there forever, and this is really his third year, but he's a great, really good athlete. He's played a lot of football for a guy that age. Has the ability to scramble, make plays on his feet, has more weapons around him. I think he's a lot more comfortable now in their offense. You could see that throughout the year last year. As you watch the season go on, how much more comfortable he got, especially when they, you know, they start going to fill a lot more as their feature back and became a much more physical team. So, you know, the addition of Matt Luke, who's a tremendous coach, was here with us. I think that makes them even more versatile in some of the things he's going to bring to the table. But Cade's been a great asset for them, and I know he'll be, you know, very experienced.
Okay, Georgia coach Kirby Smart talking about Cade Klubnik, of course, quarterback there at Clemson. By the way, if you are thinking of taking, like, the big guy is with Clemson, you can find a 14. For example, I mean, there's plenty of books showing 14, more books showing 13.5, the importance of shopping for the best number and having multiple outs. So how much has changed in 3 years? Well, a lot. Clemson 3 years ago laying 3, big guy. Now it's almost a 2-touchdown favorite. Some shops are showing 2 touchdowns. This is kind of a disrespect angle that Dabo can build against Kirby in Georgia. Now, a couple of things. You have the potential number one draft pick in the 2025 draft under center for Georgia and Carson Beck.
Yeah, we'll see
a bigger
about
player. What's that?
We'll see about that.
I said potential.
Yeah. No, I know. There's a lot of people talking about how special he is. We'll see.
Well, this is special. Kirby's gone 42-2 the past 3 years.
Yeah, no, that is. I'd also
that
like
is special.
I'd like to
and they
add,
have the best defense in the nation.
As a double-digit favorite, though, 36-29-1 ATS, that's 55%. And remember, a lot of chunk of that 55% is when they're playing the Sisters of the Poor, and they're like four touchdown favorites. So this is a different animal. I think we've had a massive overreaction to what Clemson is. As bad as they were a year ago, the defense was still top 10 in total defense and against the pass a couple years ago. Klubnik, the thing is, he just has to finish games. He didn't finish against NC State. He didn't finish against Florida State. He didn't finish against Miami. That is the issue there. He's 20 years old, as Kirby Smart alluded to. For a guy who's 20, he's played a lot of football. And I have a lot of questions about Georgia as a whole. I think they're going to win games. I don't know about covering. Like, I went back and looked. This information's not hard to find. Last two seasons, they're 13-15-1 against the spread. That's a game better than UCLA. One game worse than Akron. Those are not good football programs right now. So Georgia wins. They don't care about style points. They don't care about beating down on people. They just find ways to win. And last year, they were playing with fire routinely. Needed a ton of late comebacks against teams they should have rolled right over. So I look at this matchup. I look at the fact that Carson Beck, in those times in the fourth quarter when he had to make big plays, he looked for Ladd McConkey and Brock Bowers. And this year, Ra-Ra Thomas was supposed to be their number one receiver. He got kicked off the team a few weeks ago in camp. I don't know who those weapons are. I'm sure they have them. I'm sure they will emerge at some point. But I have a lot of questions, not about Georgia winning, but about Georgia covering, because I think Clemson is better than they're being given credit for.
They're a top 10 as far as talent, starting 22, Clemson in the country. Now, they're not nearly as talented as Clemson, you and I would agree. I would say, at this point, you are a little concerned if you're taking the 14, which I'm going to as well. You're a little concerned this point in the year. Defenses tend to be a little ahead of offenses. I think Clemson is just way too talented. I think the lack of depth in the run game for the Bulldogs, which will get better as the season progresses, I think maybe that could be an issue. Clemson's very talented on defense. I think they keep it closer than the two touchdowns. And if I'm touching the total, I'm going under there.
Yeah, I know a lot of sharp people are going to lay it with Georgia. Our boy Aaron Halterman's going to do it when he joins us next. I know that. So that has me concerned, but I just think it's too many points with Clemson returning so many guys who know their roles.
Well, to quote Chris Ballard, we're on Clemson. You stand for nothing, you fall for anything. Stand on your 10 toes with the Tigers. Coming back with Aaron Halterman. Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, the D. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. A big slate of college football tonight. Aaron Halterman joins us, RacingDudes.com. Of course, handicapper at Racing_Dudes. Dudes Who Bet Sports is the podcast. For those that don't know, Halterman is a multi-sport handicapper. And low-key, maybe his favorite sport to handicap is college football. He's got a ton of plays for us today. As we say hi to Aaron, we should just kind of put the Traverse to bed, if you don't mind. I will say the stretch drive there with Fierceness edging out Torpedo Anna, the Philly, and the Traverse was about as exciting as it gets. And I hope you could explain to the audience that, you know, maybe thought Torpedo Anna losing was rough. The speed figures coming out of that race were incredible.
It gives me chills just thinking about it. And being there on Saturday was just phenomenal. And sometimes you lose a race, but you really win a race. And that's what Torpedo Anna did. So basically what happened at the top of the stretch, Fierceness, a horse that you and I did a show on Kentucky Derby Day and said he could be a monster. He was awful that day. He's been sensational since. Fierceness ran the best race of his life. Nobody ever makes up ground on Fierceness when he runs that type of race. He is elite. And guess what? The filly was three lengths behind him at the top of the stretch and finished a nose behind him. She was trying with every stride. She was gaining. You mentioned the buyer speed figures. It came back as a 111 rating, which is tremendous. That is some of the best, if not the best, in the country so far this year. The filly's best before was a 99, and she jumps up to a 111. And it was kind of what we thought she could do when she is challenged, when she has to compete harder. We kind of speculated she'll be able to do it. And she showed not only could she do it, but she just about ran down one of the best horses in the country when he runs, well, the best horse in the country when he runs his race. It was breathtaking. At the top of the stretch, I thought, wow, she's going to run a good second, but this fierceness is just a freak, and you can't beat them. And then with every stride, that place got louder and louder and louder. Heartbreaking loss, but she really lost nothing in defeat. An incredible effort.
Yeah, for context, a 111 speed figure is just bananas. It's that she the filly was flying. I think with a couple more gallops, she does pass fierceness. So, again, a tremendous race. And we do have a pick from Aaron Halterman coming up at Del Mar in race three, which we're going to get to. But we do have a little surprise for Mr. Halterman, who has been a longtime staple here on Sharp Money. And, of course, he's known as the Plus Money Prince, and his accent. 110. Dustin, let's go ahead and set this up.
Yeah, so it turns out you have a big fan out there. And I got this message from Jake Novakovic. He was our Sharp Money Survivor contestant a week ago. And apparently someone in his household is a big Aaron Halterman fan. Here's the video he sent me.
110.
110.
110. 110.
110.
110. 110.
110.
110.
110.
The Halterman.
110.
110.
It's like a minute of that. So his kid's just hearing you say 110. He's going to go to school one day and he's going to have to say 110. He's going to sound like you. 110.
I've never been more proud. Never been more proud.
The kid kind of looks like you.
Look, it kind of does a little bit. No comment on that. But look, that's amazing. I love it. Like I said, this is my shining moment. My whole career, you know, not just VSiN, but on the sports as well, or on the horses as well, on racing dudes. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
110. So for those just joining, we've had fun with Aaron's accent in the past, and I just caught on to one of the things that he'd say. He'd say not 110, like, you know, a normal human. He'd say 110. And even his wife gets a kick out of it. And apparently maybe the cutest fan in the history of VSiN got a kick out of it as well. You can't beat that. That kid's adorable. 110.
That's great. That's the greatest thing I've ever seen. I love that.
That's probably the hardest I've seen. Yeah, 110. Well, it's probably the hardest I've seen you laugh as well. That was great. And who sent that in, big guy?
Jake Novakovic, our guy.
Novakovic, thank you. You have an adorable child. That was awesome. Thank you for that. Okay, we'll try to transition. That was too good. And we've got a big one tonight in Minnesota. Could have some weather. I'm right there with you on your play, but we're on an island. Mostly everybody on North Carolina, but you are taking PJ Fleck in a revenge spot in Minnesota catching the two.
Yeah, look, I think the style clash is going to be big time in this race. You got Minnesota that's a ground and pound team against North Carolina, throws the ball over the field. North Carolina's lost a lot of guys. They've got a lot of question marks, and I think that's the biggest thing. Of course, Drake May's gone, you know, but offensively, how good are they going to have to be to make up for a defense that's usually poor? I just am skeptical of North Carolina, and this is a very tough first game going to Minnesota. You mentioned the weather. It's, you know, that is a tough place to play without any doubt. And then you look at the Minnesota side of it. I think people are down because starting running back's out, but Marcus Major is going to be the starting running back now. I know him well because he was at Oklahoma, and he's a solid back. He'll be just fine there at Minnesota. And look, I think the biggest thing with Minnesota, the brand of football is physical, and I think they've got that, but they got a transfer quarterback, Max Brosmer. I'm kind of excited for this guy. He's coming from the FCS, but he's got a cannon, guys. He's got an arm, and I think if he can make enough throws, kind of make himself known early in the season here, I think it can loosen up that Minnesota offense a little bit. So I'm going to take the upset. Give me Minnesota plus 1.5 here. I think they're going to be able to run the ball and throw it enough to beat North Carolina.
Yeah, this is the and thank you for the update on Minnesota's RB1, because there were questions of whether or not he would play. He is officially ruled out, so I do appreciate that. But this is a PJ Fleck game. Got a beatdown in Chapel Hill last year. Has had all spring, all summer to prepare for this game. He's 5-1 at home openers there in Minnesota, the one loss to Ohio State. I think this sets up perfectly for that run game of Minnesota against North Carolina. I like the two as well. Next one up, maybe the most exciting just from a clashing perspectives, an FCS, North Dakota powerhouse, North Dakota State, of course, taking on Colorado. You can get 10.5 all the way up to 11 right now, and you're going to take it with North Dakota State.
Yeah, give me the Bison all day long. Listen, you said it. Going to be a big style mashup here in this one as well. I got to be honest, guys. I just don't buy Colorado. I didn't buy him last year. I don't buy him here. A lot of new guys here. Can the lines, being offensive, defensive line, be better? I think that's going to be the big key. But for me personally, even if Colorado's taken a step and they are a little bit better, isn't this a lot of points? I mean, North Dakota State is no joke. And I'm going to tell you something. They will come into Colorado believing they can win this game. That's half the battle when it's an FCS school coming on the road to a FBS team. Do you believe you're going to win? North Dakota State's coming here to win the game. I guarantee you that. They're not looking to cover. They're not looking for moral victories. They believe they can win. Now, look, they'll have a tough time stopping Colorado, but I think Colorado will have a tough time stopping North Dakota State. I think it's close. Colorado may win. North Dakota State's going to cover. I'm pretty confident in that one.
I feel right there with you. What's interesting is I think both defenses, I agree with you, are going to have trouble stopping the other offense. Yesterday, we were sitting on the show, it was 61. That total has dipped all the way down to 55. So something interesting just to take note of. Utah. Utah is the favorite there in your little conference, the Big 12. No offense to Oklahoma. Utah is laying 38.5 at home, which is a tough place to play. Southern Utah coming to call the Utes. What do you got here?
Well, first of all, I don't have to defend the Big 12 anymore because it just means more to Oklahoma.
Yeah, the SEC.
Now we're in the SEC.
Well, good luck.
All right, let's go to Utah, though, who in that little Big 12 conference, as you like to say, I think they're the favorites to win this thing. And maybe, and I'll be honest, I might be too high on them, but I love Cam Rising, and I think he's the big difference maker in that Utah offense. You looked at him last year, they really struggled without him. But you look at the year before, that offense was dynamic. It was because Cam Rising is a guy. Like, he is a hell of a player. He's tough as nails. I think he comes out tonight, and he's ready to rock and roll. So I think the offense will be good. The defense at Utah, you're always high on them. They're always tough. They're always a physical football team on the defensive side of it. So I hate laying a lot of points, but I think in this situation, they're going to swarm Southern Utah here. They're going to have trouble scoring. Southern Utah, I'm talking about. And then Utah's going to jump on them early. I think they'll be ready to rock. So I hate laying all these points, but with this one, I think it makes a ton of sense. Utah minus 38.5. I think they're going to roll tonight.
Okay, speaking of laying some points, we were just talking about Georgia and Clemson in Atlanta. And if you're laying it with Georgia, you can find a 13.5. If you're taking it with Clemson, you can find a 14. You're going to lay the 13.5 with Georgia.
100%, maybe my strongest play of the week, guys. I heard you talk about a lot of people are on it. That is a little scary, but I'm so down on Clemson, it's not even funny. And I just think Dabo Swinney, who I do have a ton of respect for, I think he's a great coach. He has not changed with the times. And I think year after year, you're going to see that program dip just a bit. You know, not a big NIL guy, not a big transfer portal guy at all, as in he doesn't use it. I just don't think you can survive in major college football using these kind of things. I know they have a lot of guys back. They got a lot of guys back that weren't all that good last year. Georgia's going to roll them here. I think this is a really tough matchup, and I think you'll see the talent difference between these two teams is going to be pretty big, and I think it'll be evident early in this game. I like Georgia to roll in this game big. I think, you know, even 20 maybe I would take. That's how confident I am in Georgia.
Yeah. Two more college football plays.
I really
believe
they're just better. They're just better.
Two more college football plays are going to be up. Best bets over at VSiN.com from Mr. Halterman. Quickly, you see the clock. Del Mar, race three. Who do you have?
All right, Del Mar, race three. I do like the 8. Give me the Loot. The horse was claimed by Phil D'Amato last time out. D'Amato, great on the turf of Southern California, whether it's Del Mar or Santa Anita. So give me, in the third race of Del Mar, number 8, give me the Loot.
Give me the Loot. Give me the Loot. Number 8, race 3. Aaron Halterman, 110, racingdudes.com, dudes who bet sports. Thank you, Mr. Halterman. Good luck.
All right, thank you, guys.
110.
110. We're back.
110.
110.
Okay, Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. Bill Bender does a great job for a long time covering college football. Certainly a new look this year for the sporting news. Senior college football writer. You can find Bill on Twitter at BillBender92. And I have, we may just run these 12 or most of the plays. You can find them over at the Sporting News, but he's got 12 plays ATS with a great write-up over at the Sporting News. We say hi to Bill Bender. And I want to start here, Bill. I know it's not an official play for you, but in Boulder tonight, Colorado hosting North Dakota State, that number sitting right around 10.5, some shops showing Colorado laying 11. You recently had a one-on-one with Dion. May I ask what you took from the conversation?
Yeah, you know what? Dion is going to do it his way, right? Like, he defended his portal use. He talked about how, you know, it's not just Shador and Travis Hunter. He may have a couple more stars on that roster. This was before he banned the reporter. So, I mean, that was a little bit different. But I took away from it what I tried to take away from all along. I wasn't really all the way in on the bandwagon last year because I knew there would be growing pains. This game tonight's a tough one, though. I'm having a hard time picking it because I need to see. It's almost like an in-game play for me because I want to really see. Dion can tell you and me that the offense and defensive line is better. I need to watch the first couple plays to see if they get pushed around.
There's some good football games tonight. I don't think any are as intriguing as North Dakota State and Colorado. I totally agree, and potentially an in-game play there. Let's go ahead and start with a few plays for the weekend and week one of college football. Clemson. Now, you've got Clemson catching 13.5. I'll do you better. Right now in the market, you can find a 14, and you're going to take it versus Georgia in Atlanta.
I'll take Clemson. And I'm nervous about it, but – you know, because there's always the specter that Georgia could do to Clemson what they did to Oregon a couple years ago, and then we all open our eyes and be like, wow, that's the best team in the country. Last time these guys played, it was 10-3. There was one defensive touchdown. And Clemson's defense is good up front. And it really comes down to Carson Beck or Cade Klubnik. Who do you believe will push the ball down the field a little bit, make a couple plays? I think they'll play each other tight in the first half. Georgia maybe pulls away. You might sweat a little bit. I got Georgia winning that game by 10 points.
Okay, love it. Let's keep it going. Penn State, West Virginia. This is an interesting one here. Penn State's laying 8.5, Bill.
Yeah, I think they already have traffic jams in Morgantown. I think they're ready. I mean, come on. That's why I love college football, guys. This is a regional rivalry. They haven't played in a while. West Virginia hasn't beat Penn State since 1988. I was 9 years old. I remember watching Major Harris play. Such a cool thing. One thing to remember, though, with James Franklin and the Nittany Lions, for all the big game struggles, this is the team that has lost exactly one game to an unranked opponent in the last three seasons, and that took 9 overtimes to do it with Illinois. I think they manage in the first half. They dominated this game last year, too. If they turn Drew Aller loose a little bit and the defense creates a couple turnovers, I think they withstand that early surge from the crowd in Morgantown, pull away and cover in the second half.
So the next one I'm going to ask Bill Bender, of course, the Sporting News does a great job. He's got his ATS write-ups over at the Sporting News, BillBender92 on Twitter. The next one's fascinating on a multitude of levels. One, it's in-state, not conference-wise, but in-state with Florida hosting Miami. Florida's catching 2.5. You are going to take the dog at home, but also interesting because of the coaches, right? You would think Napier is on the hot seat. I don't think Cristobal's going anywhere, but he has a lot of talent this year.
Loser feels the heat, though, right? Because Florida, you know, obviously with that murderer's row of a schedule that they have, every game in November is going to be tough. So I'm looking at Florida. Will they be able to win this game at home? Hey, these teams that don't play enough, quarterback play with Graham Mertz on one side, Cam Ward, an exciting player for Miami on the other. One thing with Miami, watch Damian Martinez in this game. He's the running back from Oregon State. He's physical, good between the tackles. That's a big difference for Miami. This game lends itself to fluky things in the fourth quarter. And when I think a game could get fluky late between two even teams, I'm going to take the home team. It's not really an – do you guys consider it an upset? I don't, right?
Like, I
think Florida wins a close one. No,
I don't. I think Miami's more talented, but when you consider playing at Florida in the swamp, I wouldn't think it's an upset, but Napier needs it. I would say that. I think this is a huge game for Napier. Let me ask you about another fascinating matchup on a multitude of levels. One, College Station, because Elko's there, and it seems to be after, you know, a few stagnant years, there seems to be some pretty high energy with the program, and here comes Notre Dame to start. Now, A&M's laying 3, and it looks like you're going to take it with Notre Dame.
Yeah, and again, it's going to be one of those things where can they manage? You know, I checked the weather reports this time of year. It's hot in Ohio, by the way. It's like 95 degrees here. So I was like, well, if it's hot here, what's it doing in College Station? And over the weekend, it's supposed to be 80 with 86% humidity at night. So Notre Dame will have to adjust to that. I do think their defense travels. I think Riley Leonard, all he has to do is not turn the ball over to lend itself into getting Texas A&M and their crowd fired up for this game. I'm going to go with the Irish. I think they're the better team. When I pulled it, before I even looked at this line a week ago, somebody told me Texas A&M was favored, and I'm like, what? Why? And that makes me a little nervous, but I'm still going to go with the Irish.
Yeah, that reaction, you take the points. I'm in L.A., Bill Bender joining us. I'm in L.A., and I would say there are a lot of questions about this USC program, to say the least. I wouldn't say Lincoln Riley's under pressure, but I wouldn't say he's not under pressure. I don't know how to say it. He is taking on LSU, of course, and LSU's laying 4.5. You're going to lay it with LSU.
This is going to be a lot of points. I might take the over here because I still have questions about both defenses. I know they both got new defensive coordinators, Danton Lynn, Baker for LSU. So for me, LSU's been in this spot and they've played huge openers the last 4 years. And this is just the other one. I think you just put it perfectly. Lincoln Riley, not exactly on the hot seat, but the pressure to accelerate the rebuild. I was thinking about this today. I want to see if you subscribe to this as well. And Caleb Williams covered up the rebuild they had because that first year they were so good. Caleb was amazing, but I don't think the entire program was where it should be. And that's what Lincoln Riley is working toward. And games like this and playing well in games like this, it helps you build that. On the other side, I think there's more pressure on Brian Kelly. You can't lose an opener for the third straight season, not against a Big Ten team from the West Coast. And when you complain or want to be an SEC powerhouse top 10 type team.
No, you put it perfectly about Lincoln Riley as well, because I grew up near you. I grew up in Michigan. I went to school at South Carolina, so I'm used to Big Ten and SEC kind of fervor. What I didn't realize, Bill, until I moved out here to LA is these boosters at USC are intense. And there's a lot of passion around this program. The way the defense performed last year, not saying Lincoln's been testy with the media. Again, can't say he's under pressure, but the pressure could start to build is the only way I could frame it.
You know what? That's a little bit of 6 degrees then, because I lived in Charlotte for 7 years, so I had to learn, and my wife worked in South Carolina. So we learned it down there, how, you know, the different perspectives on football. And, you know, all I knew from my time down there is they thought that the SEC could beat everybody and everything, and at the time that's what they were doing. But the pressure, and you said it well about Lincoln Riley. At Big Ten Media Day, I thought he was cagey. I thought he was going after people. I thought he couldn't say the word blue blood enough. And now you're coming into a conference. One thing USC will figure out pretty quick is the Big Ten, at least in my lifetime, has revolved, and you know this, it's revolved around two schools. And those two schools control everything, Ohio State, Michigan, all the football narratives. Will Oregon, USC, Penn State share in those this year? It's definitely an interesting question.
It absolutely is. More ATS plays from Bill Bender over at the Sporting News. Does a great job breaking it down. Bill, thank you again for the time. And we look forward to talking to you again over the college football season. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm going to get over to my son's scrimmage. There's no line on this game, though. They're only 8th graders. We'll get to that later. Thanks so much for
having
me on.
Get me a number. I'll bet it. Bill Bender 92 on Twitter. Headed over to his son's scrimmage, which I would imagine if I was lucky enough to have a son or a daughter, I would gravitate towards one of the parents that did want to place a number on the game, and then we could go back and forth and figure out how we want to do this.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Sit out there, stand on the sidelines?
Come on.
Watch them run triple option directly into the center's butt every play?
Again, what am I, childish? No, they are children. We can still bet them. And that's not disrespectful. The kids don't know. Just got to make it interesting.
All right. Real talk. When I lived in Valdosta, South Georgia high school football is crazy. There was a guy who ran a book and set numbers and illegally took action on all Region 1 football games.
Oh, no. Like, if you don't – high school football in South Carolina was – well, college football, high school football from a local book took more action than the NFL.
I believe it. I believe it.
A couple counties go hard. When we come back, we've got family plays. Sharp money.